Miriam Meets on RTE Radio 1 with Miriam O'Callaghan.
My guests this week are a father and son. Martin McHugh has been described as the finest footballer ever to come out of Donegal. He was on the 1992 team that won the All-Ireland Senior Football Final, and for his role he was named All-Star Player of the Year. This year, his son Mark brought home another All-Ireland medal to the McHugh home and was named as one of this year's All-Stars. Donegal has only ever won the All-Ireland on two occasions, so this is no mean achievement for the McHughs from Kilcar, County Donegal. And of course, there was that moment at the end of the match after the final whistle when father and son embraced on the pitch. The picture appeared on many of the following day's papers, for the emotion of that moment seemed to sum up all that sport means for a player, for a father and for his son. You're both really welcome.
Thanks, Mary. Thank you.
Okay, so let's clear this up. Which is the better player, father or son?
I think, Dad, you can answer that question. I have a few years left playing yet, and
suppose I won my first All-Star in 1983 when I was 22, as well as the same age as he is now. So it took me 10 years to win the next one, and lucky enough, looked at a stage where I was never going to win All-Ireland, I suppose. But up to that stage, he's won a lot more than I have. So you have to say, at his age now, he's probably, have to say, a better footballer than I was at the same age.
That's the first time I've ever heard that, actually. I've never come across you this morning. But listen, as he said, it's just probably, I'm lucky enough at the minute to be about with a team that's doing so well, and we're achieving. We've won two Ulsters in the last 2 years, and now we've won the All-Ireland, so hopefully we can push on. You know, they won their All-Ireland 92, and they didn't want another one afterwards. So, you know, up in Donegal at the minute, we're hoping that we can push on and win a few more before we finish our careers.
Do you remember that day really well in 92 when you won?
Yeah, supposed to do, isn't it? Suppose something you'll never forget. Suppose you don't remember a lot about the build-up. I remember the night before the match, James and myself and Noel Higgery and John Girardi went called into the hospital to see a very good Donegal supporter from Kilcar, James Thomas McNulty, who was in hospital in Dublin. And there was great old banter in the hospital. The rest of the lads went to Shelburne Park to the dogs that night, and we joined them later on. The game itself was, you know, I think the one thing we wanted to make sure that didn't pass us by, because funny, 2 years earlier we played in an All-Ireland semi-final against Meath, and both myself and James were taken off. And
probably, James, your brother now.
James, my brother, yeah. And we're both taken off in that match, and that was probably one of the worst days for the McHughs. And it's interesting, I suppose, I mean, that was the one maybe affected me the most of all a football match. I actually didn't come out of the house for a couple of days afterwards. And lucky enough, the funny thing, this man here beside me was born on the Wednesday. And I don't know how I'd have taken things if that didn't happen. And, you know, the one great thing about that there, and I've always said this, I think, you know, you find out more about your friends, your real friends, when things are going against you and when you get beat. And I knew after that who was my real friends. And, you know, maybe 2 years later, lucky enough that we won the All-Ireland, and they were the people that I wanted to be with, the people that actually rang me, came and visited me, you know, because I took it, you know, because I maybe take football, I'm not saying a lot more serious than him, but I'm, you know, he doesn't do nerves, as he tell you himself, but from my point of view, I took it very personal. And, you know, there were letters in the local papers about me and everything else. And, you know, I knew it was tough on my mum and dad at the time and everything else. And on James, my brother as well. And it was a tough time for us.
And what happened in that match, do you think, with both yourself and James came up?
Yeah, it's just, I suppose,
making you relive a horrible moment now.
Yeah, and I think that probably, there was maybe the only time, it's definitely the only time I was ever taken off in a Donegal match. I think when you're midfielder as well, your half forward lane is bypassed. And it just happened. It wasn't that anybody really marked us out of the game. Just the game bypassed us, you know. But suppose a lot of people are expecting a lot of things from Donegal from that point of view, and expecting a lot of things from the McHughs and that there. And it just didn't work out. But I never thought probably after that I would get another chance to redeem myself. Lucky enough I did.
But when you did, you took it with glory. Because didn't you score the first point in that All-Ireland in 92?
Well, that's the one thing I can say over these boys now. That I scored the first point ever for Donegal in an All-Ireland final. Yeah, the ball, it was actually James took a shot. I think he took a shot. I don't know if he was going for a goal or a point. The ball hit the crossbar and came back. And lucky enough, I got on the end of it and kicked it over the bar. So I did score the first point. So it worked out in the All-Ireland final. In 91, we were hammered in the Ulster final. I walked out of Clonas that day, down the hill in Clonas with other Donegal players with me. I never thought we'd be back in Clonas, not alone that the following year that we went on to one, to win the All-Ireland. So, yeah, I think we're lucky enough, Miriam.
We have some lovely footage now, Micheál Muirahertig, the great Micheál, commentating on that final in 1992 when you got that point. Let's listen now.
70 yards out, Hogan stands side of the field, tries to get away from Jack Sheedy, a free to Donegal, a foul by Jack Sheedy on Declan Boner. Tommy Carr hit his way covered, but Jack Sheedy came up, and surprisingly, Jack, well, he has slipped three times. I wonder, has he the correct cogs in the boot? on the boots. Declan Bonner lobs a good ball inside toward the 40-yard line. The break will be vital to Jim McHugh. McHugh blasts and it comes off the upright and comes back out again. A chance for Martin Bjorg, and Martin Bjorg shoots it over the bar. The first goal ever for Donegal in an All-Ireland football final, and how it has been greeted by the Donegal people here. Unlucky that they didn't get a goal. James the wee man wrapped it in, up the upright out, and Martin the brother got it over the bar.
Ian Tuck Martin Bjorg. I love the way he calls you Martin Bjorg.
But I worked with him afterwards with RTE. I always remember, you know, the passion that he has in the comedy, you know. The worst kind of matches, he made them sound brilliant, you know. And when you were, I was there trying to co-commentate on and listen to it, but I always remember a Laois match. Laois were playing, I think it was Dublin they were playing in a match anyway, and I was doing the co-commentate, and Laois were well behind, and he says to me, I just said in the comedy, this game is over, you know. And the next thing, Laois went up the field and scored a goal, and he hit me with his fist like that there, and he thumped me, and he says, is it over now, Martini, says, you know. And I'll tell you, I was sore for three or four days afterwards, you know. So he's really passionate about Gaelic football.
But do his words there, do they bring back that game to you in all its glory when you hear them?
Yeah, they do. Even when you look back, and it still was a good game, which was great from our own point of view, because the All-Ireland semi-final was probably the worst All-Ireland semi-final between Donegal and Mayo that year that was ever played in Croke Park. And we were lucky enough to get over the line. But we felt if we won the semi-final, we'd be good enough to win the final. You know, I remember Seamus McEnany, or Banty McEnany, the column, was up in the house actually buying sheep of my father. He used to come up to buy sheep of my dad, and he'd come up and he always wanted to go to meet Noel Hegarty and James and John Joe Doherty, all the sheep farmers in the area, and there would be great fun and everything else with the sheep, you know. And Banty was talking about the standard of football at that time. Maybe that was 2006, 2007, was a lot better than way back. And I said, hold on, Banty, we'll put on the All-Ireland final of 92. And we watched about 20 minutes of it. And he was actually in shock how good the standard of that game was and the speed it was played at. So it was actually a very, very good match.
Have you ever watched it? I mean, you were there, Mark, but you were only two.
I've watched it on numerous occasions. You know, just sitting in the house, even me and Dad would watch it together. And he was telling me what kind of good footballer it is, but I'm not quite sure about the high standards of it. More catch and kick more than anything, but compared to the day's game. But I've watched it, and the scenes after the match was phenomenal. Like no more so than this year that when we had it. To see, even watching videos of the homecoming back then in 92, and the scenes were phenomenal.
And just before I ask you about your homecoming this year, 92, to bring back the Sam McGuire, I suppose, to Donegal for the first time. Was that an incredible experience?
It was. And suppose you didn't realise what you achieved for the Donegal people until you arrived back, particularly in Donegal town, the crowds that was in Donegal town. And then the other, you know, the following evening, we came back to Kilcare. You know, really coming back to Kilcare is the one you'll never forget. Coming back, we stopped at our own house. Mum and Dad came out and everything else. And James's girl Emma was when it was put into the cup and that there. Mark was travelled with the team. We collected him that morning. He travelled along with the team in the bus. I think he fell asleep just as Patrice says. My wife Patrice says it just as he was coming around the corner of Kilcare. I think he fell asleep there. That thing. But I think coming back into the own town, when your friends came in beside you, and I always remember Ian Hegarty, Mr. G. Ian Kilcare, as we call him. He tucked in between me and James with the cup, and he was so proud. But I think coming back into Kilcare was the real special moment. And the same thing this year when Patrick and Mark, you know, I think we're the only club in the county, and we're a very small club, that had two players playing in 92. And, you know, 20 years later, we had two players playing on the team as well.
It must have been an amazingly proud moment for your parents as well, though, Martin, that yourself and James were on that winning team of 92.
Yeah, it was, you know, they never showed much emotion, you know, in the sense, particularly Dad, but I mean, they were very, very proud, he would have said afterwards, you know. And I think people, I met a fellow this year after the All-Ireland final, and he was saying to me, he met my dad somewhere, and he was talking to him about it, and he said, you must be very proud to have two sons playing the team that won All-Ireland. I said, as many as the days they came home and I told them to hang up the boots, he says, you know. So he didn't give as much credit and everything else, but he was really behind it all, I think.
Yeah.
He met him when he was out and about. He used to love the banter and the crack and everything else, and especially going down to Killy Beggs and that, and taking out of them and everything else. He enjoyed that old banter, Dad, and people loved him. And you know, he died last year, but I think even the funeral, a lot of people came to the wake house and came into the house and said, look, we're not here because of football, and we're not here because of you and James. We're here because we knew this man, and he was a great character, and he used to be on the road with the quad in later years, and he was up and down the quad, and he would argue about politics and argue about farming and argue about football. They were the main things he argued about, but everybody stopped at him on the road and everybody knew him on the road, and yeah, he would have been definitely very proud, Miriam, yeah.
Did you grow up under huge pressure, probably not put by anybody but yourself, that you were playing football, but you'd your father who played in 92, you'd your uncle who played in 92?
You were always going to have a wee bit of pressure, you know, on your shoulders. You know, out walking around the streets, it was, if you were along with Daddy, and you know, people would see you there walking along with them, either would stop you and they would start asking to you, "Are you going to be as good as your father?" Or, you know, "Are you going to be as good as your uncle James?" And you know, when are we going to see you in a Donegal shirt? And like, this maybe when I'm only 10, 11, 12, 13 years of age. But listen, it's something I had to deal with, because it was always going to happen, and no the same has happened, you know, with Ryan the last number of years as well.
He's your brother.
It's
yeah.
Ryan, my brother, yeah. And it's just it's something that I said I had to deal with, and I had to cope with it. But I think I learned it, because I was so nearly so used to it, because it was happening from you know, as I said, a very young age. It was a privilege growing up on being, you know, being known as Martin McHugh's son, because the footballer he was. And it's you know, I think that as they talk about that moment after the All Ireland final between the two of us, you know, it just shows you how close we were and how proud he was that you know, when the final whistle went. But over the last number of years since I made my own way onto the Donegal senior team, and kind of known now as Mark McHugh instead of Martin McHugh's son.
When did you first notice he was a good player? Don't say when he was a year old.
No, he always knew, you know, what he was about. I mean, the thing about it is, I suppose, from his point of view, is how versatile he is. The biggest thing problem growing up was where his best position was. He played, even this year, he probably played full back for Kilcare at a stage in a game. He's played in the half back lane for Kilcare, the middle of the field for Kilcare, the half forward lane for Kilcare, and the full forward lane for Kilcare. I suppose that was it. So maybe he didn't establish that till he went, until he actually got to Jim McGuinness, took him over and set him into this system that everybody talks about, how important a cog he is in that system. We knew he was going to play football. At what level he was going to play it at was up to himself, and the work he was going to put in himself and into football and everything else. And he's a different footballer to me, like that there now. You know, I'd be out having a ball with me, carrying a ball everywhere I went, on the farm, when everyone else, when I was young, I had a ball with me. I don't see him with a ball very much now, Miriam.
You're just great. So sorry.
But listen, he was a great Irish dancer, wasn't he? Hey, we could have had Mark the Irish dancer rather than Mark the footballer. Go on, Martin, you tell me about this. Embarrass him.
Embarrass me on a good Sunday morning.
But you're a good Irish dancer, aren't you?
I was all right. I think it probably helped me a wee bit with my football, you know.
Coordination definitely helped.
If you asked my dancing teacher when I was younger, Miss Marie Cannon, she'll always take credit for it, and because it, you know, it's so light in my feet, and I think it definitely helped, you know, as you said, the coordination and even the speed, and you know, maybe even my jump off the ground, you know, that it all kind of leads up to that. And even when I was younger, people, you know, always tell me that it was going to help you as a footballer, but I kind of never realised it back then. But sure, maybe it's some bearing on it, right?
Do you still Irish dance?
No, I haven't Irish dance now in a long time. What are dancing I be doing now? Maybe jumping up about the place, but I could still pull a few steps for you, right? No bother.
Get you dance around the studio. But look, the thing is, you're a wonderful player now, but do you think you're a much better player now, Mark, than you might have been as a younger guy, even when you were 17 or 18? Do you think you've come into your own now?
Yeah, you know, growing up, as Dad said, it was kind of hard enough to find a position. But since I joined the under-21 team with when Jim McGuinness took over and I was called into that, you know, thankfully he found, you know, he had a system, and he found a place for me in that system where it kind of seemed just to fit in rightly. And that's the same kind of role I've been playing this last number of years under Jim. And, you know, thankfully, you know, I'm in total gratitude to Jim and how he can fit me into his cog. So, as you said, the last number of years, you know, playing in that role that everybody, you know, everybody talks about, it's lucky enough I'm fit to play it. And probably maybe one of the reasons I'm fit to play it is because, you know, growing up under Dad, when he, you know, such knowledge of football, whereas football's the only thing being talked about around the place, around the house. And maybe I can read the game because he's taught me so much about the game of football.
Do you think that Jim McGuinness has had a big role in Mark's career as well, Martin?
Oh, yeah, yeah, massive. He would have had a massive role in it, you know. It's just interesting talking about the sweeper's role he plays. There came a letter from Pádraig O'Leary, who's the principal of Carrick Vocational School there, wishing him well in the All-Ireland final. But he just said he was, you know, looking back to the history of GAA in the school and that there, and he was saying that an under-14 match, they were getting beat at half-time, and they put Mark in the sweeper's role, and they ended up winning the match. So they were looking to take credit for it at that early stage. But he did. He's played him. Big role in him. There's no doubt about that. I mean, there's talk about Jim at the minute going to Celtic and that there, you know, to work with the young people in Celtic. We're lucky to have Jim in Donegal, and hopefully we can hold on to him in Donegal. It's very important. Mark will tell you about how good he is in the dressing room, motivating him before they go out in the field. But he's just got that quality. The quality of a person in man management skills, which is a big one, is to take the best out of people.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt that Jim McGinn is able to do that. I think the big thing is, I have a massive passion for Donegal football and always had, and he's got a massive passion for Donegal football, and that's why we're hoping to keep him in Donegal now, Maureen, when he stay. Because
you'll have to kidnap him.
Because he's got that great passion for Donegal football, and that's the big one.
But you often hear about managers in dressing rooms and how they're inspirational. Your dad even, like, what kind of things would Jim McGinn say? Why is he so good at what he does? Why is he so inspirational to young guys like you?
As Dad said, I think it's his passion for Donegal football. Like, you know, the first time we met Jim, it was about. About just coming up now in 3 years, around November, and we met down in Downings, and the meeting must have lasted for about 4 or 5 hours, you know. And he sat us down and he gave us a plan, you know, what his goal for the future was and for Donegal football, and I already experienced Jim previously in the under-21s, but the boys that hadn't experienced him, you know, they came away from the meeting and their whole mindset was just turning. You know, they couldn't believe that this man actually believed that Donegal were good enough. After us getting hammered in Cross McGlen just a few months previous, that this man, you know, had the goal of seeing that Donegal were going to win in All-Ireland. And, you know, I still don't think every man left that meeting thinking Donegal were going to win in All-Ireland. But Jim knew. He was sitting there and he knew. He was looking in front of him and he knew the players that were there. And he says, you know, this is what we're going to do. And we did it. Like, you know, we went out the next year and won the Ulster title. But if you're going back to talking in the dressing room, the way he talks, he'll never put a word wrong. And if he does put a word wrong, you don't even notice that he puts a word wrong, because, you know, he lists it off. I actually don't know how he does it, because he's a phenomenal talker, I suppose, you know, because he's done his psychology, Miriam, and, you know, he just has it off to a tee. You know, I captained a few teams growing up, and, you know, you're in the dressing room and you're shouting at your players and you have to think what you're going to say. And like you might stumble on a word, or you might, but he just doesn't. He rhymes them off, and you know, I don't know. He must just sleep and talk in his sleep or something like that. Because he's always at it.
But like when you won the All Ireland this year, that day in the dressing room in Croke Park, like what kind of things would he say?
We're going out in the field before the match. You know, it's one of his things. You know, Dad had a while ago about nerves. You know, he doesn't do nerves. Like he thinks, like, what's the point in being nervous? Like, you know, we're a better team than the opposition if we go out and we do our, you know, we do, everybody does their job and does what I'm telling you to do. Because if you do what I'm telling you to do, we're going to win the game. And that's why he says that there's no nerves needed. So it kind of calms us, especially the younger boys, down a lot in the dressing room. Like if we are a bit uptight coming into the thing, he just reassuring you, and he's saying, you know, there's no need to be nervous. At half time now, there was a bit of a harsh word spoken right now, because we'd thrown away a 7-point lead, which was cut back down to 3. But he had us right, you know, he had us ready again for the second half, and showed we went out and we got the first 2 points in the second half. And after the game then, it was just, you know, a big, you know, a speech really of, you know, how well we did and how proud he was of every one of us. As his dad says, please God we can keep him in Donegal, because he'd be a massive loss to Donegal football, and to, you know, every one of us, you know, will be praying he stays.
And Martin, talking about nerves, I mean, on the morning of that game, you were not nervous, but you were nervous for Mark.
Uptight, maybe.
Did you ring? You called him, didn't you? You phoned him.
Yeah, well, I ring him most days before matches just to chat to him. You know, he doesn't listen to me anyway, as you know now, after what he's saying about Jim McGinnis. He doesn't listen to me anymore anyway. I don't really matter, but I like to give him a ring to wish him well before the matches, and I rang him from there. You know, it's the first time, you know, I suppose, at the game. You know, I was just saying, I was leaving him on his own, you know what I mean. He was totally on his own there. He was in the bus on the way, and he didn't realise that. But just from my point of view, was, look, you're on your own today, because an All-Ireland final, you know, is a massive match. I actually met Anthony Finnerty of Mayo. He was doing an interview for RT on the sideline, and we're just talking about the match. And what, you know, every single ball is judged. If you block a ball and win, the match is talked about for years afterwards. Mm-hmm. But if you make a mistake, that's the big one. Yeah. And that's the one thing I said that day to Liam McHale of Mayo. I just say, I hope nobody's remembered from this All-Ireland final, because it is an amateur sport, for making a mistake that costs the match. And I just thought, and Anthony Finnerty said to me, he scored a goal in the All-Ireland final that day against Cork, and then he missed a goal. And he's still remembered for the goal he missed in that match. People get on to him yet. He was telling me that, and I couldn't believe it. I was just saying how harsh it is. You know, I was being
only,
a week.
Only for Paul Durkin. He passed
the ball back, and Paul Durkin just got to it. So I just think that, you know, it's the one thing you want everybody, nobody to remember for a mistake they made, even on both sides. And that's the one thing I wanted to, you know, it to go well for him first, more so than Donegal winning the match, because, and then, you know, that he didn't make that mistake, the matter. But listen, he was more confident than I was going to the match. But that time I was nervous, yeah. I didn't enjoy before the match. It's harder, even when I managed football teams. It's actually the easiest place is to actually play in the field. And when, even at a time, I was player manager in my own club in Kilcar. I was going for the job in Donegal. I was going to be player manager as well. And I think people don't realise it's actually easier to be a player manager on the field than it is to manage a team on the sideline or watch a game. It's tougher to watch a game, Murray.
So if Jim McGuinness headed to Celtic, would you like to manage Donegal?
No, don't go there. I just hope Jim McGuinness doesn't go to Celtic, you know, because Rory Gallagher is there too, and we're lucky to get him, to get Rory as well. I mean, he's been a big addition to the thing as well, you know. And, you know, I know Jim, and Mark will probably back me up on this here. Jim would not, he's so close to the players, but the players, you know, he realised what the players have, you know, achieved for him and the help they've given him. I think he would find it very, very hard to turn his back on him. So listen, never say never. I know you're going to say that. Never say I've managed. I'd love to have managed my own county, because I have a real, real passion for it. I was very, very disappointed at the time I didn't get the job, you know, and I had no option that day, Marion, but to leave, because I wouldn't be fair to PG McGowan, who got the job. Who got the job at the time. You know, if I played well for Donegal, people expect. If I didn't play well, people say, oh, he doesn't want to play because he didn't get the manager's job. And I had to move on that him.
But sure, no regrets, as they say.
No regrets, because Cavan was very good to me, and I enjoyed every minute of going to Cavan, to manage Cavan. And I'm very close to Cavan people, and I have a great passion. I know Cavan people still, you know, were lucky enough to win the Ulster title in 97, and I still go into places in Cavan, and my dinner will be paid for in that there. But listen, I would still have loved to have been Donegal. I'd love to have got the chance to win an Ulster, even try to win an All-Ireland with Donegal. Anyway, it didn't happen.
But look, we're going to take the first piece of music, which you love, Mark, which is Script.
Yes, I suppose it's a relatively new song. That's Script, the Hall of Fame. We have a video session usually before the game, and it was the backing track to the video we had. And every man were there, we were shoulder against shoulder, and the song came on. Every man was just pumped up, ready to go, I think. And it's, you know, it's fitting enough that it was played, you know, that it's the Hall of Fame, and that's where, you know, we're sitting in at the minute, because we're after one in Ireland. And even going around the field after the game, it was played in the loudspeakers, and everybody was singing it. And listen, it's a great song, so enjoy it.
The Script there with Hall of Fame, your choice of music. Great song, actually, Mark. Great view in the day as well.
Thanks,
when you won. Your own parents, Mark's grandparents, your parents, Martin, where were they from? I know you spoke about your dad earlier, but tell me about your mum and dad.
Yeah, well, mum was from Killybegs, and I think she was Cunningham from Killybegs, and she was the third generation to come into our house in Crabug, where I was actually born, in Crabeg. And she was the third generation of Cunningham to marry into that house, to marry McHugh in that house, which is very interesting, yeah.
They had a weakness for McHugh.
Yeah, Daddy was from... it must be their week. Daddy's from Kilcar. And they met over in England. Mum and Dad had moved to England, and Mum was a nurse over there, and Dad was working on the tunnels or whatever he was doing over there. But I had an uncle, Oney, who was killed. He was a helper on a coal lorry, and they were delivering coal down Teeling. He hit the bridge in Teeling, and the lorry went on fire, and he went in and he got the driver out of it, but he got caught himself. And what happened then was that Dad had to move back to do the farming that him when Oney died, and we'd probably never have, I'd say they would never move back, because all Daddy's family, or all other than one, Uncle Paddy and Killybegs, the rest of the family has all lived in England, and we'd have probably ended up staying in England and growing up. We'd have grown up in England, you know. But there's one great story told my grandfather and I was tough man. I don't remember him, but he was a tough man, supposed to be a very, very hard man, one of the hardest men. But mummy and dad got married and they were back in the house that night. And the following morning at 7 o'clock, he hit the door and he says, "He's getting up the day at all." That was my grandfather, so tough man. So I remember my mum telling that story, but there were
tough times, though.
Oh, tough times. You know, yeah. I've always said, I remember this, and these wouldn't understand it, these young lads. I remember, like, that time growing up, there was just two houses together on the side of a hill, us, and I mean, we had another house, the Carrs, beside us, and there was Ellen and Mick and Peter Carr there, and Ellen and Mick were my godparents, actually, you know. And you know, what you had the hens and you had the cows and everything else. And that's what you had, reality. And you lived on all that. Mum cooked, we churned and all that there. And I remember going to the shop on a ginnet and cart belonging to the next door neighbours. And I was sitting there with Peter Cammy go, and I had enough eggs over to take back enough money with the flour and the sugar and the tea, the necessities just we needed. And I still have money back to help to run the house. That and you know, it's hard to believe that I remember that, you know, and how the changes from that time to what we see now is 5 and 6 cars at houses and everything else. And it's hard to believe that, and that's
not that long ago.
No, short period of time that actually happened. Look at it was tough times on them. They had tough to rare families and everything else, and they were reared on small farms and everything else. But you know, when we look back on it, I think, Miriam, they were a great generation of people. They were a fabulous generation. And our generation, in my opinion, has let them down completely. And they were the generation built this country. And, you know, I think it's terrible how we let them down. When we had things good, we had times good, and we couldn't run. They ran the country when they had nothing. We couldn't run the country when things were good. And it's one of the most disappointing things, you know, when even our young people now all have to leave the country. And I think our generation, you know, when we look back, and it's disappointing that I definitely feel that we let them down and let them down badly.
Because they worked so hard, that older generation in particular.
Oh, yeah. Listen, they worked hard, and they saved money and everything else. You know, every penny was very, very important, you know. And at the time, we thought they were very tough on us and everything else, and they were hard on us, you know. And, you know, I always said I was the oldest boy in the house, so I got it the toughest, you know, getting building tramcars and after sheep and doing everything else. But it didn't do me any harm at all. It was good.
Sadly, your granddad, Martin's dad, wasn't around to see you win your medal. Sure he wasn't. He just died last year.
It was you know, disappointing, all right. He might not have shown it too much, but he would have definitely been really proud inside. You know, we were very close to Granda because with Dad working and everything, you know, we might be there and, you know, maybe 4 or 5 times a week, but you're guaranteed to see Granda 7 times a week down in the house because, you know, as Dad said, either on the motorbike or on the quad, he could spin down, he would have a cup of tea, and he would have a cup of coffee, and he'd come in, and he'd slide you. You know, a funny story, one day, actually, about me and Granda, I'll remember till the day I die, but we're doing a bit of work with sheep, and then we were taking the sheep up the road, and there was 2 gaps, and one of the gaps had to be covered, another gap had to be, you know, the sheep was going into, but I stood at the wrong gap, and I never saw him as mad in my life because the sheep got away, and he came back to me and he says, "You know what you do? Education, because that's all you're good for." He says, "Stay away from the farm." And it was just, listen, for years after that, then, you know, any time I met him, that's the 2 things he said to me: education. It's one really good memory I'll have with Granda. But you know, he was there last year, you know, when we won the first Ulster, and he was delighted at that. And you know, this year at the SAM, you know, we took the SAM back to Kilcare, and then the 2 of us, we went over, me, you and Ryan, went over to his grave with it, just to you know, say thank you, for the both of our family, and neither of us will be here.
Oh, that's crazy. Was that after you won the
SAM? It was our homecoming on the Tuesday to back to Kilcare. We were coming into Kilcare on the Tuesday, and well, firstly we stopped at Granny's house because Granny was there, and you know, the whole parish had come out.
Well, Granny has Alzheimer's. My mum has Alzheimer's for a long time. So it was great. Jim and Rory and Michael Murphy and all called into the house tour with the SAM going back, and we got all the neighbours there. Because all the neighbours were there in 92 when we came back, and we got all the neighbours into the house and all that, and all the helpers is there looking after and all that, and we were all in the house and we had a great time, and they called into the house too.
There's lovely photos since of that, you know, but we left the house then and went on into town, and we had me and Patrick, you know, we carried the cup down to Kilcare, you know, one of the proudest moments we'll ever have. But after that, you know, we stayed about Kilcare for about a half an hour that day, and I just grabbed the cup, and I grabbed Daddy and grabbed Ryan, and we went over. Actually, Barry Dunyan came over with us because his grand had just passed away there. So it was, you know, it was a lovely moment. We just left the cup at the grave, and we had a few prayers, and we just
and before we left on Saturday, we went over to the grave as well. Before he left home on Saturday, we'd over to the grave just to be there at the grave with him, you know. But when he was, I remember last year we were telling him, the people who made the house for him were telling him he couldn't watch the games this book was playing. He'd be out the door looking and how's it going now, and he'd be standing out to the door, you know. So listen, he would have enjoyed being about it. Just hatefully, he wasn't about, but he would have enjoyed it. But,
and do you think that was all part of the emotion for you both on the day? I mean, I was incredibly moved when I saw you both hug. I was on the pitch in Croke Park. Tell me about that moment, because you were commentating, weren't you, Martin?
Yeah, I was. I would say every father would have done it, and every mother would love to have been out there in the field. Lucky enough, I was out in the field. I was working with the BBC on the field, and I came down late, and the man was trying to wire me up to get on the other way, you know, and when you're on the sideline there getting the wires. And I was saying to him, he didn't know, I think, that I had a son playing and everything else. There was only about 5 minutes left in the match, and I was trying to look at the match, and I was nowhere looking up at the screen, and he was coming out to me, and I said, just look at that. I was ready to throw it off. But anyway, he was doing his job, and he had his job to do. But I just had me out in the field, and I was just waiting for that final whistle to go, and I forgot about the cameras, and forgot about everything that was there. And there was a guard from beside me, and we've got a letter to the house from the guard's mother that was there. Actually, the guard's lovely, you know, and she sent us a letter saying, you know, I'm his mum, and you know, she's just the guard. And I just said to him, would you just go over and get Mark? That's my son there, Mark. And fathers don't normally show emotions, we don't normally show them. And I'm supposed to be a tough man, and people came up to me and said, God, you went way up on our estimation as a person and everything else. But you know, more people have said it to me, more fathers have said to me, listen, it was just, supposed to say a moment in time, whatever it was, but it was totally genuine and happened. And Patrice says, my wife, that's the longest I've ever hugged him. Miriam was that stout in the field that day.
The emotions were just running so high after the final whistle, and you know between that and between Granda, he chatted to me about Granda, how proud he'd be, and it was just the two of us just got very emotional, and every father probably when they saw their son, they give him just as big a hug. It was lucky enough, it was on the field and cameras caught it. Listen,
it happened so quickly after the match. Quickly,
and did the guard come up to you?
He did. Well, I was actually just hugging my teammates. I was in a grand Michael Murphy for the face of, and. This guy kind of just, you know, he just grabbed me and turned me around. I saw him, and he was just, you're throwing your hands up everywhere in the air. And I just ran over here and I saw him, and I just put my arms around him, and we had that moment, you know, a moment we'll have for the rest of our life probably.
Oh, it was lovely. Did you say anything to him, or did you just hug him?
Yeah, you were chatting about, you know, Granda, you know, how we were there and how proud he had been. And
I said to him something, I said to him, I love you, and that's, I normally don't say things to God. I just said, I love you, and I said, away you go now. Just at the end of it, and away you go and enjoy yourself, because it was just to get the whole emotion thing of, you know, working out in the match and reality to me, because I was nervous and nervous reckoning that match, and I was just so glad it worked out, you know, from the whole thing, from the family point of view, because listen, you know, with, you know, me being involved in the media work and everything else, he had a higher profile going into it, in the sense of, you know, if he failed, he might take more stick than a lot of people in that there. And it just was great the way it worked out and everything else. But Oliver McVeigh, who was the photographer who got it, Oliver said, I said to Oliver afterwards, you're going to make a lot of money on the back on the back of me and myself and Mark, you know. So I just said, why do you know? He was watching, he followed around everything and saw it, you know. But
it was a gorgeous moment.
Yeah, it's great. And the amount of people that came up to me, genuine people that came up to me, you know, it was, from that point of view, it was great.
Do you cry a lot normally?
No, normally don't cry. No, normally not normally don't. But listen, it's a moment we'll have that we can, you know. The great thing is we can look back and in years to come that we had it together, you know. And from him to his, you know, children maybe in years to come and everything else to realise that there. Yeah, it was a nice moment. And it just happened by chance. But it was nice it happened.
It was lovely. Which leads us into a nice piece of music, which is the Phil Coulter song you like, Martin. Tell me about this.
Yeah, it is. You know, I suppose it's going back to Dad, you know, from my own father's point of view, you know, what he meant to me and everything else. I mean, what he meant to us all, you know, the way he looked after us and everything else, and him and Mum, you know, and even the way, you know, that he's looked after Mum for so many years. And then, you know, he's my old man, and suppose I'm his old man now.
The tears have all been shed now. We've said our last goodbyes. His soul's been blessed, he's laid to rest, and it's now I feel alone.
Phil Coulter there, the old man.
Yeah, I was just saying that, Mary, when the song was going on there to you, that my other grandfather, he died 2 years ago, Mammy's daddy, and you know, it's no more different. He was a good footballer in his day too. He played at Ulster College for a year before he had to go away fishing. But he's when he was Kelly Beggs' man, and who's about to just be as proud as the other man would be.
It's nice to say, actually. Mm. But listen, you're not the only talented son in the family, is he? You have another son who's a good footballer, don't you?
Ryan is captain the county minor team this year, and he's 18, just past 18. He was 18 in April there. He feels he lost out last year, that he wasn't in the squad, that he lost out, and he's hoping to get into the senior squad. He's an under-21 Donegal panel, and he's in Sligo together with Mark. So Mark's looking after him in Sligo. I don't know, is it Mark looking after Ryan, Marie, or Ryan looking after Mark? So I'll leave that till after Christmas.
We're living together anyway, so...
Is that good?
It is brilliant, I'm enjoying it at the minute.
Do you have a lot of young women chasing you?
Young woman chasing me. I don't know about that, but so saying that maybe even the younger ones are just the more immature ones are kind of just you see there in the Twitter and the Facebook writing away to you and asking for a happy birthday or something like that, or a retweet, or it'll make their day. But listen, it's all good nature and everything like that. So it's a bit of crack seeing all that, even when we're touring for our homecoming, when we're touring around the county, and you come out and you think you're One Direction or your Westlife, you look at them and they start screaming and everything like that. It's just great to see their faces,
But it doesn't go to your head.
No,
it doesn't seem to.
No, it hasn't gone to my head yet. And I think with a manager, with Jim McGuinness and Rory Gallagher, he's not going to let much go to any player's head. He'd want to win another one.
Do you find people treat you differently since you won? Since you became, I suppose, more well known and won that All Ireland this year?
Yeah, I suppose you're walking down the street now and you're stopping chatting to people. And as dad said earlier on, everybody's your friend at the minute, but next year it could go horribly wrong, and that's when you find out, as dad said, who your real friends are. So it's great at the minute. The whole county's buzzing. Everybody wants to chat to you and be in your company.
Do you ever find any begrudges or any mean comments on Facebook?
Some people are maybe jealous or something like that, and you get a few mean things here and there on Twitter and on Facebook. Like even people, this last week, right, maybe saying that you don't deserve an All Star, or you don't deserve to be on this team and all that. Listen, I don't mind them at all.
I think that there was one incident, Mark, where I came up with a room actually, and I don't normally look, but I opened the iPad and there was a thing on. I couldn't believe what I'd read on it, from Phil and Monin or someone, who was, and I just said, not understanding this, I said, how can you have that Phil as your friend, So it was just
on Facebook.
Facebook, yeah. So it was just you passed a comment to me, if you don't have them as your friend, they'll give you more abuse mm-hmm. on Facebook and that there. So that's part of that whole thing.
Yeah, but that's just it's very, very small minority. Of people, most people are very good natured and stuff like that. But as I said, I don't pass any heat in any of that. All my good wishes I get, I do appreciate them, and I try to get back to as many of them I can on Facebook and Twitter. But
you're 23, aren't you?
22.
How did you turn out such a sound, mature, seriously, son at 22?
I don't know if I'm mature now, but
yeah, go on, Martin. What was the secret Murray, of you and Patrice? Secret, I want to know.
There's a lot of talks. Maybe.
Actually, maybe in Donegal you're all great talkers.
I don't know about great talkers and everything else, but I think that there's a lot of plenty of meetings in the house and everything else. But I think the important thing from their point of view is to make the most out of it themselves. It's important, whether it's to get themselves through college and make sure they do that and don't get caught up with the whole thing, or whether it's to get themselves sorted out, whatever part of life, it's important for them to do that. There, the one thing you don't want to see is see somebody there was a great footballer and everything else, and that this actually ended up destroying their lives or anything else. And it has destroyed people's lives being successful. Now, the other thing is, the other way, and it's important from their own point of view to make sure, that it doesn't. But I think they're very level-headed. I think Jim McGuinness and Rory Gallagher will definitely keep them right now. Say after Christmas, it'll be back to brass tacks when they come back from their holiday and everything else.
Your wife, Patrice, Mark's mum, she played football too, didn't she?
Basketball probably would have been her big sport. She was very good. And these boys played basketball, which definitely helped them, Because the one player I played with that would have played a lot of basketball was Martin Gavigan, who actually came in late, developed late and came in late into the county setup. And Martin Gavigan ended up being very, very physically strong, and strong in the air and strong in things like that. So basketball was a big, big help to Mark and Ryan. And Patrice was very big into the basketball, but she played football as well.
Even Jim would refer to basketball a lot, when and his coaching and stuff like that. It's a sport I really, really enjoyed. I played it for you know, for four or five years.
And your daughter Rachel, we got to mention her. She's the only one we haven't mentioned. She's 16. Does she like? Is she sporty too?
Yeah, she is. It's important to give Rachel a mention. She feels she's a forgotten child. She told us. She told
she's
us.
We need to mention her.
Yeah, we definitely need to mention her. You know, but no, she's very big into Irish dancing. She was very good at Irish dancing. But you know the way she gets when you get to 16, that you move on Irish dancing. They become other kind of dancing comes in there. She's very supportive of Mark and everything else. And I think behind it all, you know, she's enjoying the whole thing that she's Mark's sister, and she's really enjoying that, and she's playing up on that there, and she really enjoys it. I think she loves it that you know who she is and everything else, and a lot of the young boys are showing an interest in her, and she's happy enough.
Do you think Donegal, for years, I suppose Kerry was the team who seemed to win every championship, and now you have won this year? Do you think it gives you hope for the future?
Yeah, definitely. I think it does, because this last number of years in Donegal, as I chatted earlier on, there's more belief more than anything, you know, and Jim brought that belief to Donegal and that meeting that was that 4-hour meeting down in Downings. He brought that belief into the players, and you know, we all pulled in the one direction since that. And even last year, winning Ulster, you could see that this year we were a wee bit more confident and going into the Ulster Championship, and you know, winning games brings confidence. And I think, you know, next year, you know, we'll probably be a wee bit more confident again. But the other side of the coin then is that other teams are going to, you know, want to knock us off our horse. You know, we're all Ireland champions. We're going to be, you know, we're the ones that everybody want to beat, and we've first round of the championships against Tyrone, and it's going to be a big battle that day whenever we play them, and it's going to be start of a whole new journey again.
I think the big thing in it was, you know, in Donegal was, you know, I always remember way back, we played in the Centenary Cup game, Murrayham against Kerry, and they hammered us 7-12 to 5 points or something. I always remember Jimmy Bug Cunningham as a selector, and he just said, let's get all the women out there tonight out of Donegal to see can we get footballers up here. And I mean, I think I remember Jack O'Connor ringing me a couple of years ago and just on about Donegal, saying, you're fabulous footballers up there, what's going on, you know? And I think, you know, we beat Dublin, you know, in the early 92, and we've beaten other teams, but we've never beaten Kerry. And this year, the fact that we beat Kerry, we can stand tall now to say we beat Kerry. They are the masters. I mean, they still produce the best footballers in Ireland. Mm. To beat Kerry, Donegal to beat Kerry, that's when we've arrived on the GAA calendar. You know, this year, and definitely fair play to these lads have done it. I think that's the day. That's when the belief is there now, and that has really made us. I think that we can go down to Kerry now and not talk about Kerry having all Ireland medals. We've beaten Kerry.
It's a religion in Kerry. Is it a religion in Donegal football? I mean, what would your lives be like without football? Would there be a life without football?
No. In our house anyway, I don't think would there be.
I'm definitely in Kilcar. Kilcar is that we always say we're the Kerry of Donegal, because that area, you know, you know the team that I played on in 92, there was nine players finished that game from that four clubs, Killybase, Kilcar, Ardra, small area down there in Glencullum Kill. So yeah, it's strong down there, and I mean Gaelic football is very, very important. It is a religion there. There's nothing else. I mean, Father Eddie Gallagher is laughing. The 2 weeks after the All Ireland final, he said. Everybody's talking about football in Donegal. I might as well have the sermon about Gaelic football in Donegal, and he had it, you know.
And as we close, I'll ask both of you, what did winning that All-Ireland medal mean for you, Martin, in 92? Did it change your life for the better?
Yeah, definitely, it changed my life. There's no doubt about that, you know. Maybe in the day before, there was an article wrote in the paper, in the newspaper about me that maybe, you know, I didn't perform in big games and I was a failure and all this here. No stuff, because, you know, you do set high standards for yourself. You're supposed to expect to deliver and everything else. So definitely, yeah, it changed my life for the better. I mean, no, I was a lot older than he is and that there, but at the time. But I probably never thought I'd won an All-Ireland at the stage. I was coming to my career. So yeah, you'd never swap an All-Ireland medal for anything. It's probably the one thing that you really cherish and you love to have.
You, Mark?
Yeah, you know, I'm just after happening to me like six weeks ago. But at the minute, I'm probably just still buzzing from the one. Please God, as I said, we might win another one before I'm finished
my career. Or three.
Yeah. please God. But our two jerseys, actually, the one I wore in the final, and the one Dad has 92. The two of them's up in the GAA Museum for this year. So that's something nice as well. Mm. We're up seeing them there just a few weeks ago as well. And it's something that, you know, the two of us will always have, and it's something we'll cherish, you know, when we get older.
It must be quite rare, is it, just as we close, father and son? The fact that your two jerseys are up in that museum, the GAA Museum, how many fathers and sons have achieved?
I think actually, Martin, we're the seventh, you know. I mean, when we started out way back, we didn't expect it. So, listen, from that point of view, it's great. It's great for the family. And, you know, it's been... You know, suppose last year wasn't a great year for us, and this year, you know, it's just the way things go. This year's been a great year, Murray.
Well, you deserve all the success of both of you. You're really nice. We're going to end in a piece of music, which I gather you do a fair singing of, but you're not going to sing for me Mickey Joe Hart song.
I'm not going to sing it, no, but if you don't ask any of my friends, if people know me on a night out and I get a jukebox or something like that, this is the song I put on. It's just a funny song. It's a song I think gets a place going because everybody does secretly love it, I think.
Yeah, it's great.
But, nobody remembers the song. And even on the Monday night after the game, we came back to Donegal. It's one of the most memories I have. I was just walking about and the band called me up and they says, "Mark, would you sing a song?" And I says, "I know, I'm not singing a song." And, and then he says, "Go on, you will." And I says, "What song are you singing?" I says, do you know Mickey Joe Hart, We've Got the World Tonight?" And they says, "Yeah, we do." So we started away and the place just went mental, and it was just one of, as I said, you were buzzing. And I know how these big bands feel now up on stage singing because of the adrenaline you get. And so that's the song we're going to finish on. It's just Mickey Joe Hart, We've Got the World Tonight, Miriam.
Fantastic. Well, look, Mark, Martin, thanks a million for coming to me today from Donegal and Sligo. My thanks on sound to Noel Roberts, to my producer, Eileen Herron. We're here at the same time next Sunday. Until then, thank you very much for listening. And we'll go out now with Mickey Joe Hart. We've got the world tonight. Let's hold on.
Meets on RTE Radio 1. Listen back or podcast at rte.ie/radioplayer.